Welcome to the Spencer FC Podcast!
All right, mate, how you doing? Welcome back to another Spencer FC Podcast. It's the eighth podcast today. I am joined by not only Mr. Thomas Gray. How you doing, Tom?
Very well, thanks, Spencer.
Good, good. And also, I've got someone who I went on their podcast a few weeks ago, but now he's paid the favour. Come on our podcast. It's Mr. James Buckley.
Hello.
How you doing, mate?
That was good. Yeah, I'm
sort of... clapping. Should we clap?
There was only one person in here, so it
counts,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it's nice to one clap.
That was single solitary clap.
Yeah, so
how are you, mate?
I'm all right. Yeah, that was really good, by the way. I'm here sort of making notes, seeing what it's like to do a proper podcast.
Well, because, of course, yeah, you present the official Dream Team podcast.
Yes.
Which is out every week as well.
Yeah.
How's that going? Enjoying it?
Yeah, it's good. Well, we just spoke about it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm just going to be honest with you as well. Yeah, it started off. I was really pleased to be involved and I got bored of it. And now I'm back. I'm back. I'm pleased to be involved.
So you hit the wall.
Are we not an official Dream Team? What's our
one? We're the Spencer FC podcast in association with Dream Team. But there's obviously a Dream Team podcast.
Okay.
Which I advise people to listen to. James is the host of it with your mate Jalil, is it?
Jalil. He's not important.
But he's an interesting character as well, because isn't he? He's gone on a bit of a journey. He didn't like football, now he's like really into it or something.
We just didn't know. He didn't. It wasn't that he didn't like football. He just didn't anything football. Football wasn't a part of his life at all, which I find bizarre, because I'm sort of not sure how you can really have a relationship with someone that doesn't know anything about football, doesn't have anything to say about football. What do you talk about?
And also, how does he become the co-host of a football podcast?
Well, that's it. So I was trying to talk to him about football. He doesn't know anything. So I was just sort of like, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to cram football into your life, and then I'm going to show you why it's so important. And
what was he into other than football?
Gardening. He loves it. He loves gardening.
Different section of the brain. You can get both of those.
Right.
Yeah, he can be. Manager's gone gardening leave, so it's an option.
Yeah.
And he's a big Watford fan now, isn't he? Massive.
Yes, he's from St Albans originally. So I said, well, you should probably be a Watford fan.
That'd time for him to pick to be a Watford fan as well. Like, pretty much their best season ever.
Yeah. He's been spoilt, really, hasn't he?
He's gonna think football fandom is easier than it is.
Yeah, he's gonna be deluded, isn't he? He's not gonna realise what it's like to support a team from the lower leagues.
He doesn't know the struggle.
Exactly, yeah.
He'll get to it. We're all associated with clubs that know about the struggle. You're a Crystal Palace fan, James.
Yes.
We've got Tom's a Newcastle fan, I'm a West Ham fan. We've all had struggles, we've all been relegated, we'll come back up.
We came straight back up.
Yeah, we took a season. Yeah. We took a season down there just to take time. First time we went down, we took a season. Yeah. Second time we came straight back up.
Consider what you did wrong the first time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Until recently, Palace has only ever gone straight back down.
Yeah. Well, you actually beat us in a playoff final, Palace.
Yeah.
Back
Cardiff,
in the day.
Yeah, 2004.
That was the reason we had to take a season, because of them. They stopped us going up.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm from Dagenham as well, so every single one of my friends are West Ham fans.
So how did you end up being a Palace fan?
Because I was born in Croydon.
Okay.
And then when I was two, my parents had this amazing idea to move to Dagenham.
Great shout.
Don't know why.
Why not? It's all about Essex, mate. I'm an Essex boy as well. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You make it sound like because I moved down. I'd say it's a move up in the world, mate.
Yeah, no, it's just a bizarre... it's sort of like a sideways step, isn't it? Croydon to Dagenham. It's not really a sort of Croydon to...
Milan.
Thank you. Just groping for somewhere better than Croydon.
Yeah.
Didn't think of it.
But you stay true.
Never been, but it's on the.
It's lovely. I'm going to Milan. I'm going to the Milan Derby next weekend.
All right, mate.
So that I'll let you know what it's like.
Do you get paid to do that, or do you just do it?
I'm doing. Yeah, he's going. Well, yeah, we're making a video there.
Can you not disclose that?
I'm making a video about the Milan Derby.
Oh really?
Inter versus AC. Yeah.
It's going to be a cracker. Nah, I'm not going.
Didn't get the invite.
I was not invited. Is this for your channel? This is for your channel.
It is, yeah. We'll talk more about. I tell you what, we'll talk more about that next week when I've gone.
Yeah,
and I can tell you what it was like. But look forward to that. A few things to talk about later on in the show. We're going to do. I asked the guys on Twitter for some questions for you, James.
Yeah.
So I've got some of them to ask you. I've also got a little Crystal Palace quiz, and if you get all the questions right, you're going to win a copy of Call of Duty, not for yourself, but for our listeners. So you're on behalf of the Spencer FC listeners today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and also, of course, I should shout out the dreamteamfc.com. I've got my own page on there, my own blog, another one this week. Make sure you check it out, dreamteamfc.com. Thank you to them for making this all possible. Okay, first thing we've got to chat about, guys, this weekend's football just happened. Arguably, the best Premier League game of all time happened this weekend. Some people will say that. Maybe in years, you know, in the future, it will be looked as the best game ever.
It was the sloppiest good game ever, I think, I've ever seen.
In terms of entertainment, though, nine goals.
Great. Yeah.
Norwich 4, Liverpool 5. The reason I think this stands out against some of the other games I've done this is because there was two goals post 90 minutes.
Uh-huh.
You had the equaliser, which made Norwich fans go crazy,
yeah.
And then Liverpool just broke their hearts with that Lallana goal. good a game? Where does this rank for you guys in all-time Premier League games?
I actually didn't get to see. I was listening to it on the radio. I was driving to Selhurst at the time.
Probably number one for you then.
But it sounded great. It sounded
the audio was top notch.
Yeah. So I sort of missed it because it was on TV. It was on when I left the house. I think we watched maybe the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, just missed a goal then because it was quite early on. Yeah,
literally. Like it was as soon as we got in the car, it was like maybe we should have just stayed indoors. Yeah.
It was one of those games. It was like at school though. As soon as it went 4-4, I knew it would be 5. It was like at school when you sort of go on a mazy dribble and you start giggling because you've done too well or something. You can just tell the mood was like it was. Yeah, schoolboy football.
We're seeing a lot of these.
Liked it, obviously.
It happened last week with Chelsea Everton as well. Like these late goals. In my mind, when someone says best Premier League game ever, the one that always comes to my mind is that Liverpool 4 Newcastle 3 game. I think Stan Collymore was involved.
Yeah.
I've made a list of some of the other best games. You may or may not remember. We've got that one. Spurs in 2007 beat Reading 6-4.
Yeah.
Berbatov got a hat trick, and Spurs came back from behind 3 times. That's 10 goals. That's a bang for buck is strong in that one. Man United beat Spurs in 2001 5-3 after being 3-0 down at half time.
Chinks Touchwood.
That's not bad, is it? Can't find any wood. I can't not talk the rest of the podcast. That would be awkward.
Some of your viewers might disagree.
Ouch. Burn. So that was a good one. Liverpool. I've noticed a pattern here. Newcastle and Liverpool involved a lot of these games.
Yeah, man.
Liverpool 4-4 with Arsenal. Remember when Arshavin scored 4 goals?
Yeah.
Charlie, the producer, just told us in our ear there was a 4-4 between West Ham and Charlton. Hat-trick from Paul Kitson.
Who played for Newcastle as well as West Ham.
Wow, that's a nice fact.
Thanks, man.
You know what? I was looking online for what was considered the best game. You know what game came up? Which, in entertainment, in terms of goals, wouldn't be first choice, but it was the Man City QPR game where Man City won the league on the last day. That was what was voted as the best
incredible,
game.
Yeah.
3-2.
I think time will. Time's always a good judge. I think that will move lower down the list as years go on, but it was still a fantastic end to the season.
Yeah.
I didn't think Dele Alli's goal was that good.
Oh, wow.
Have you seen it? You haven't seen it yet.
He was there.
I was there, but it looked good there. It looked good. It looked even better on TV.
You're still a bit down about that result, aren't you? I can tell.
It was hard. It was a hard one to take because I didn't think Palace played that badly, and it would have been nice. It was great to score.
Because it'd been a while, wouldn't it? Although it was an own goal, so does it count?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, that ball went over the line, so
yeah.
You know, beggars can't be choosers at the moment. But, I mean, it's a compliment to the club, really, when I'm disappointed that we've slipped out of the top half of the league in the Premier League.
Do you think
Crystal Palace we're talking
about? Of course. I mean, do you think the Pardew effect's wearing off, though?
No, I don't think so. I just think it's still an ongoing process where hopefully, you'd like to hope next summer we'll get a goal scorer in.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would have changed a lot of stuff, having if Conor Wickham was sort of banging them in.
Good. Yeah. Conor Wickham was good at football.
What about Dele Alli? How good do you think Dele Alli is? Like, you saw him live doing
really
what
good.
He does. Do you think we could be looking at the next Frank Lampard?
Possibly. I tell you what, though, for a lot of the game, it was forever before I realised he was even playing.
Really?
He sort of. It was near half time where he was on the ball, and I went, oh, God, yeah, Dele Alli, I forgot about him.
So he's not ever present in the... But he's there and he gets goals. He does get goals.
But that's the thing, well, you can't argue with that, can you?
Going back to that Liverpool-Norwich game, how good was it to see Jurgen Klopp just going crazy? You might not have seen that either, but he celebrated that goal, went crazy, literally ran to the players, they're all hugging each other. Broke his glasses in the process. Is that not, like, for me, everyone's loving Jurgen Klopp right now, right? Because he's charismatic, he has heart on his sleeve. Why do we see so little managers like that? Is it because we don't have that many charismatic managers in general? Or is it because people are scared to kind of show that much of themselves?
I think it's because it's perceived to be a little bit disrespectful, isn't it, to the opposition? I think that they got a bit annoyed with him for, like, running down the pitch, Mourinho, when he used to do it.
I think it's unorthodox, isn't it? It's just sort of... It's borderline unprofessional.
I love it, though. I love
Graham
it.
Sooners,
yeah, I
Graham
do as well. I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. You want to see you managers celebrate. But there's... I think... It's an unwritten rule. It's one of those things where there's a way that they must behave and they've stuck to it. But no one's actually said,
Can't
you must
that.
Behave this way.
Well, they have the technical area, don't they? They do have the technical area, which you're not supposed to leave. If you watch Slaven Bilic at West Ham, he was in the other guy's dead area most of the game.
Well, Sinis did that thing
standing next to Pochettino for most of the game.
Sinis did the thing with the corner flag, didn't he, in Galatasaray when they...
Oh, that was incredible. You're right. Sinis literally was... That, I would say, is unprofessional because, yes, he was getting really passionate, but he was kind of inspiring people to get naughty. He basically gets the they win the game against their big rivals. I believe it was actually in the away stadium, wasn't it? His home stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
Gets the corner flag and goes in the middle of the pitch and does this kind of like Spartan, like, oh, and just stabs the corner flag. And like, it wasn't even a corner flag, wasn't it? A flag of the Galatasaray.
I don't know. Sounds
it was literally like a like Braveheart statement, and everyone just went mental when he did it. Mm. And it's just that's, I mean, Sinis is obviously a nutter. But that was like, that's a step up from Klopp. But Klopp, I like. One thing's for sure, it's a lot better than when you see a goal go in and the managers just sit there and go, just nod their head. Yeah. Don't react at all. I hate that. I think, come on, you're loving it inside.
I'm impressed by their ability to cope under pressure. I think it's a good thing.
It could go either way. What do you prefer, James? A calm manager or a passionate manager?
The passion is one of the reasons that Klopp is so popular.
Yeah.
I think
Pardew's sort of in that category as well. He gets fired up.
Pardew can go too far the other way, can't he? Tim Sherwood.
Paolo Di Canio is passionate.
Yeah, there's a difference between sort of passion and then also charisma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then sort of passion and just being a bit stupid as well.
You need to be able to say the right thing. Sherwood's problem was he had no kind of sense meter. He said everything and he didn't think what he should and shouldn't say. But Klopp's clearly a clever guy as well. He's got that about him. Di Canio was all passion and no kind of real tactical nous behind it. Didn't seem like it, but another thing to talk about is Charlie Austin. Now, last week, James, we had a guy on the show called The Secret Agent, who's this kind of like hidden identity football agent. Well, first name Secret, surname Agent. You almost got me there. But he gave us an exclusive, which is the reason Charlie Austin signed for Southampton is that they actually promised him that it would never rain there. And they put up loads of tarpaulin on the training grounds because he doesn't want to get wet. One thing that's for sure, that tarpaulin is paying for itself because Austin's come off, scored.
You can't promise it's never going to rain somewhere.
Tell that to Southampton, mate. They've promised that. Okay. Apparently, the secret agent says it promised it will never rain.
Just to stress, this is the secret agent who is a real person.
Yeah, definitely a real agent.
This is a real fact.
Exactly. Right. Well, okay. No, but he knows what he's talking about because Austin, he was clearly buzzing, comes off the bench. Could be the goal that sends LVG packing. Because he's talking about maybe resigning, we're hearing.
He's in Holland at the moment or something. And as we speak, Giggs is taking training.
What's he doing in Holland?
It's his daughter's birthday or something.
Ah, yeah, of course it is.
Getting a chin put in.
Emergency chin operation. Great moment for Charlie Austin, that one. One more thing to talk about in the football from the weekend is Diego Costa again beating Arsenal single-handedly. He's got in their head. They've had three red cards this season. All have been against Chelsea. Diego Costa's been involved in a number of them. Do you think that he is officially like the Arsenal bogey player now? Like they just cannot handle their defence, cannot deal with Diego Costa and his tomfoolery.
Didn't Arsenal beat them in the Charity Shield?
They beat them in the Charity Shield, yes. That's true. We're talking about the Premier League.
I know, but it's just... I don't think they are a bogey team. I think it's just sort of teams win and lose. And Arsenal will inevitably lose against Chelsea if that will take them to the top of the Premiership.
Yeah.
It's just sort of one of those things. I think... I think the sending off was bizarre on the defender's, Mertesacker's part. It just...
Well, he wasn't looking at the ball. He was looking at the linesman.
Yeah, it was just sort of... I don't know what he expected. He touched him, definitely touched him.
Yeah.
Did Diego Costa make a meal of it? Yeah, I guess so. I hate that, though. Like, that winds me up.
But ultimately, at the end of the day, if he plays for your team... And him doing that, as horrible as it is, I hate it as well.
Yeah,
but
no,
he guarantees the red in many ways.
Yeah, I hate the half-hearted ones, the ones who kind of do it and then look and then don't have the guts to like.
Or a tackled, fall off the pitch and then roll back on the pitch.
Yeah. Although I would do that.
See that I just want to see. I want to see him fined for that. I want to see him go. You were tackled and you were off the pitch and they could have played on.
Yeah.
But you decided to come back on the pitch. Then, like, I just want to see him go, no, you're getting fined.
Yeah.
For being an idiot.
That would be good.
Let's do a weekend of any pulling shirts in the box during a corner.
Penalty.
That's a penalty.
Yeah.
Do that for one weekend. It will stop the next weekend.
But I think the refs aren't brave enough. The refs are just not brave enough. The players have too much power. They're too scared to potentially do it. I'd love to see one no-nonsense. Remember, like, Kalina, the old ref, the skinhead?
Yeah.
He just did not... mess about.
Yeah, goggle eyes. Yeah, he was brilliant.
He would just come into Premier League now and just send people off left, right, and centre, That's what we need. We need some tough, like, no-nonsense ref to come through the system and just start taking names. Right, before we get on to the Crystal Palace quiz, quick thing to catch up on. Remember last week, Tom, we were doing this kind of weird... We were talking about these weird name coincidences you get in football. So there's the fact that Tottenham might sign a second Moussa Dembele. They already have one. There's a number of them that came up. The fact that Arsene Wenger manages Arsenal, etc.
Yeah, that confused me so much.
It's too good to be true, isn't it? Too good to be true. Well, that's captured the imagination of our listeners, and we've had a few people get in touch with us with some more we didn't cover. I'll quickly go through them. Casillas was replaced at Real Madrid with Casilla, his backup goalkeeper. Obviously, one we missed out, which was huge, is Gary Neville and Phil Neville's dad, who did sadly pass away recently. He's called Neville.
Yeah.
Amazing name. I still don't understand what his parents were thinking with that one. Fulham had a Scottish player called John Collins.
Yeah.
And when he left Fulham, they signed someone called Collins John.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's reversed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, now it's time for the James Buckley Crystal Palace quiz. 5 questions. If you get them all right,
Jesus,
you're going to win a copy of the new Call of Duty game for one of our listeners, which I'll give away on Twitter. Okay, James,
Black Ops 3.
Pressure. Black Ops 3 on the PS4, I should add.
Yes.
This is what we're fighting for. I'm going to stick it there.
I've been playing it loads.
You enjoying
it? So good. It's back to that sort of Modern Warfare 2 heyday.
Yeah, it stepped up this year. I've enjoyed it a lot as well. Yeah. It's gone with a quiz. Crystal Palace themed. First question.
Yeah.
Who are the other team that let an eagle fly at their games? I'll give you a clue. It's a Portuguese team.
Porto? I don't know. That's the only... Lisbon?
Try the other one. We can do a B.
I'm going to go with Benfica, funnily enough.
Benfica?
Yes.
Their left back, Benfica.
That'd be a great one if Benfica had a player called Benfica. Yes, correct. Well done. Benfica. They also let an eagle fly at their games.
That's not a Palace question.
Well, you have an eagle that flies. Questions aren't
who
strictly
specifically doesn't let an eagle fly at their game?
At Palace, at half time, they let an eagle fly across. They let it out and it flies across.
Thanks for giving me that, though, because I will go on record saying I didn't know the answer, and I'm not ashamed to know that Benfica flies an eagle.
You should be.
As a Palace fan, I feel like that's something you should know.
You should know all about Benfica as a Palace fan.
Basically, we're going to be quite lenient with these questions because I want to give away the game.
Yeah, they're going to be all like that.
Well, they get a bit more.
I won't know the answer.
The next one's more Palace themed for you.
Okay.
Which ex Crystal Palace striker?
Yes.
Who now plies his trade at Bournemouth shares his name with a brand of mint.
Glenn Murray.
You smashed that one.
Yes.
That's good. That's all right, we're on two. Next one. Who is Crystal Palace's leading Premier League goal scorer of all time?
Premier League.
I reckon I know.
I'll give you a clue. Second is Andy Johnson with 21 goals.
I was going to say Andy Johnson.
The person that wins, he got 23 goals.
Yeah.
He played at the beginning of the Premier League era. He got all the goals over 2 seasons.
I know who it is.
He also played for Spurs later on, I believe. His surname... is shared with a popular toy which you can stretch.
Armstrong?
Action.
First name?
Gary.
First name Stretch.
Correct, that is over the toy. Stretch was the popular nickname he had.
Craig
in the training
Stretch
ground.
Armstrong. Yeah.
Does anyone know his first name?
Craig.
No.
Craig Armstrong.
It's the right first letter.
Colin.
Chris Armstrong.
First time he got it, first time, everybody. 23 goals he got, but yeah, it was only 2 seasons he got them. He smashed it for a couple of years, but he's your leading Premier League goal scorer, 23 goals.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But we're going to pretend you did because I want to give away the game.
I got it right eventually with all the clues.
I can't believe
so it still
you
counts.
I didn't stipulate how many clues I was allowed to give.
Exactly,
it's a clue based game.
As long as I eventually... I mean, that is what you're doing is what I do to my 4-year-old son when I'm trying to remind him what something is. What's his name? Chris.
All right, well, seeing as you got it right, we're on to the fourth question. Crystal Palace have a group of cheerleaders called the Crystals.
Yes.
They rose to popularity when they released in July 2012 a YouTube video which got 2.8 million views of them performing which song? Was it Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time, Uptown Funk, or Call Me Maybe?
Call Me Maybe. I'm going to go with that.
You're going to go with that?
Yeah.
I don't know how he's doing it. I don't know how you're doing it, mate.
Oh, I'm smashing
these. You're on fire.
Call Me Baby. It's
right.
That one,
this, if you thought the others were hard, this is the hardest one by far.
Right.
I'm going to make it easy for you, though.
Go on.
When was the Crystal Palace built? It was a real palace.
Oh, the Crystal Palace?
It was a real palace.
It was the late...
You've got to get within 100 years.
Within 100 years?
Yeah.
Oh, it was... 1880 something, 90 something, I'm sure.
Give us a number.
1888.
You go 1888.
1887.
1887, okay. Yeah. I can tell you, you're actually within 37 years, which is decent. Oh, right, it was okay. 1850.
1850.
And it was opened for the public in 1851.
By Prince Albert.
I thought it was later in the century.
Either way, you got it right. You got within 100 years, so congratulations.
Within 100
absolutely
years.
Smashed the Crystal Palace.
Imagine if somebody had to be somewhere within 100 years. I want you here, but it has to be within 100 years'
back to the
time.
Back to the Future, when he disappears and then he gets the letter from his doc.
Exactly, he's still alive.
How are we going to give this away? We'll do it on Twitter. Can you just make up a random hashtag for me, James? Just a random assortment of words. People will have to type in that hashtag and just have to tweet at Spencer Owen that hashtag.
Okay, hashtag Dream Team FC.
Hashtag Dream Team FC.
Hashtag Dream Team FC podcast.
All right, that's what he's gone for. It's a good use of plugging opportunity. I applaud it. Hashtag Dream Team FC podcast. You need to tweet me that at Spencer Owen. I'm going to choose
also,
one
can we
of
do
you.
Hashtag Tom Gray's debut album out now.
It's a must listen. It's this year's must listen. Yeah. Tweet me that hashtag at Spencer Owen. That hashtag is hashtag Dream Team FC podcast. And I'll choose one of you at random to win Call of Duty Black Ops 3. We happy with that?
Yes.
There you go. Done. Well done. Okay, before we let you go, James, I need you to answer some questions from Twitter, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I wish you hadn't have tagged me in that thing.
Oh, did you get a lot of tweets?
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
I hate Twitter.
Well, we'll go through them quite quickly for you.
Yeah, no, I'm only joking. I love people tweeting me.
Thank you to everyone that did tweet a question for James. First question is from Owen Druitt, and he says, who do you think will win the league?
City.
Man City.
Yeah.
Okay. Dan Pick JFT96, great name. He says Messi or Ronaldo?
Ronaldo for me.
Really?
I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but I think he can do everything Messi does. But he just has that physicality.
Yeah.
That you can't.
Also, his Instagram's better.
Is it better?
Yeah, it's really good.
They do use that when they judge the Ballon d'Or, they do look at Instagram.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Okay, you've got Ronaldo. Interesting. This one's from Beckham Kennelly. He says, who do you think will get relegated this season from the Premier League?
Well, Villa are already relegated.
Not mathematically, but yeah, I see where you're going. Basically, basically done.
It was annoying that they beat Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
I mean, we need those lovely points to see how far we can get up in the league. They don't. What are they going to do with those points in the Championship next year? Nothing.
Waste.
They should have just lied down.
Selfish, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Villa, Newcastle.
Oh, Tom Gray's agreeing.
Well, I'm just not agreeing.
I think you're going to survive.
I don't care. I'm just going to watch what happens, and I think it's not going to affect me anymore.
I think Villa and Newcastle definitely. I think,
okay.
And then I think Sunderland. But
Sunderland
might scrape through, but I don't actually think so.
The two dead certs you're arguing to go down are Aston Villa and Newcastle.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I just don't rate McLaren. Does anyone?
I don't think if he was a teacher at school, I wouldn't respect him.
Yeah.
He's too much of a cheesy
soft
grin. He doesn't trust himself.
No, he doesn't back
himself.
Yeah.
He's got a boring personal life.
You need more of an ego.
He loves
these days.
Football, but.
I think the umbrella thing, the whole that just ruined him mentally. And I think
his skin's looking good at the moment. He was very red for a while, and he's
red raw.
Raw.
I think the players are just been slapping him in the
face.
Yeah,
I think that's his thing. He stands there at the door, and as they come through, they have to just whack him
either
side. Yeah, come on, boys. Burst blast. I reckon he's got a lot of varicose veins on his legs as well. Still
yeah,
around. He's that kind of man.
But he's got a history of just being daft, doesn't he? The whole Dutch accent thing.
I wanted to do a thing where I went and interviewed him after that Dutch accent thing at Newcastle, but get him to do like a Geordie accent. I think that would have worked, and that would have done him the world of good.
I would have got him. Yeah,
well, I scored really well down here at the moment, and I think you know that kind of.
Isn't he a Geordie though?
Well, I once saw him on the train at Eagles Cliff, which is in that area. Yeah.
He's just one of the lucky few that didn't get tarred with the accent.
Well, he's from Yorkshire, isn't he?
Somewhere.
Also, don't say tarred with the accent. You're gonna.
He did manage Middlesbrough, didn't he?
He did. That's right.
For a while.
That was it. Yeah, he had a good spell with Middlesbrough.
And they got to the UEFA Cup. Yeah, I mean that was probably the highlight of his career. Oh, he did quite well with FC Twente. In the Eredivisie in Netherlands, didn't he?
Is that
did you say 20?
20. I think it is 20.
I
just
say 20.
In my head, I say 20, yeah.
That's the whole foreign pronunciation thing, because people have a go at me if I say a foreign footballer's name wrong, but we don't say, like, chocolat, do we? We say chocolate.
I say preface instead of
like,
I say chocolat.
You don't say, like, bananas.
I always say chocolat.
Yeah, yeah.
I say to my wife, I'll pick me up a nice chocolate bar, love.
Yeah, chocolate. A whisper, preferably.
I've had it confirmed, by the way, that Steve McClellan is from York. He's not a Geordie.
I said Yorkshire, didn't I?
Yeah, fair play to you.
Thanks very much.
Next question is from Liam Flynn. He says, who was the better character to play, Jay from The Inbetweeners or the young Del Boy from Rock and Chips?
I'll have to go with Jay from The Inbetweeners.
Is that because it's your own thing? Whereas
no,
you have to...
just for financial reasons.
you had a lot more. Because how long with the Rock and Chips? Was it two episodes?
I think we did three episodes. We were going to do one more, but sadly, John Sullivan passed. So,
oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
I don't think anyone was interested in carrying on. I wasn't anyway without him.
Yeah.
Just because he was the most important person to, you know, Only Fools and Horses and. I think, you know, I think The Inbetweeners is the best job I've ever had in my life. It's the most fun I have. It's with my mates.
Yep.
And I've done other stuff where I'm supposed to be serious, and that's not as fun. You get proper actors in there and they want to do work and things like that. Whereas I just like to muck about, and that was what The Inbetweeners was. It was like being at school. It was like playtime at school. All the time.
Yeah,
I had an audition for The Inbetweeners once.
Oh, did you?
It was two, yeah.
Well, for Jay.
It was for Jay. It's for a Swedish character, and then I went in, and she told me that the accent needed to be subtle, so I did the whole thing in Welsh. But it was the most perfect Welsh actor I've ever done.
You could definitely pass for that.
It was the blonde guy with the guitar in the second film. I'm talking a small. It wasn't a big one.
Did not get it. On that note, Jay Bucks asked, Inbetweeners movie 3?
No, it won't be happening.
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately, there definitely will not be any more Inbetweeners. I know we said that before because we all thought that there wasn't going to be, but we are now definitely too old. I would have loved to have been 19 forever and ever and ever and carried on doing it, but.
Kind of an older sequel where you've got kids.
We're doing a pilot actually. Me and Joe Thomas one of the writers of The Inbetweeners has written it, and we've got the same DOP, cameraman,
director of photography. Yeah,
I just about know what it is.
Yeah, and
decent, honest.
I love the way you said it as well, cameraman. Like it's a surname. Thomas Cameraman.
Benfica Cameraman.
It'd be good if the DOP's surname was Cameraman.
It'd be made for the job. It's like Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
But we're gonna do this pilot. So it's sort of like half the band getting back together.
Okay.
We're gonna see if it's any good. And if it's good, it'll be on TV. And hopefully people will like it. I know what will happen though, because we've got so many people that are involved in The Inbetweeners that are involved in this.
Yeah.
That it's gonna be like The Inbetweeners. And I think we'll get criticised for that. Whereas...
You'll give the people what they want.
Whereas we're all like, well, hang on, you wanted...
You wanted it.
No, it's too much like The Inbetweeners.
Yeah.
What,
can't win.
Incredibly popular thing that everybody's
Exactly. Yeah. Interesting fact as well, I think I mentioned it when I went on your podcast.
Right.
Joe Thomas, who's going to be in that pilot with you, went to the same school as me.
That's right.
Yeah. He's a few years above me, but was in a similar...
Do you remember him?
We were never actually there at the same time.
Right.
Because I only went there at sixth form. But he was a couple... I think he was 3 or 4 years above me.
Yeah.
And the main thing that we shared, albeit not together, was this group, this thing we had at school called the FDL, which was like this almost... It was a debating society, but it was basically stand-up. We had to basically take the piss out of all our other students and stuff.
Right. So it was like roast. He was a comedy roast.
Exactly like that, yeah. He was a big part of that, and I was as well when I was there. And yet to be voted in by the student body and stuff is quite prestigious at the time. Yeah. But, so that's good to see that you're going to be doing that.
I don't think I could take a roasting. I think I would pretend and like nod and stuff. But
inside no one would ever see you.
I'd
do
a lot of sipping of things and moving forward.
They'd find you floating face down at the canal. Yeah.
Right, I've got two more questions left from Twitter. This one's from Parker, and he says, this is... related to something, an Inbetweeners gag.
Yes.
Have you completed FIFA 17 yet?
Oh.
Get that a lot?
Yeah, I do. No, I've not. Am I allowed to say this on your podcast? But I don't like FIFA.
You can say whatever you want, mate. Is that an ongoing thing? Was that this year? Because a lot of people have gone off it this year.
No, I think it's been an ongoing thing. I think I had to play FIFA for a long time because Pro Evo wasn't very good, but the Pro Evo glory days are the best.
Yeah,
football game.
Oh yeah, I was Pro Evo back when it was.
But are you back on Pro Evo now?
Pro Evo 4, yeah.
This year,
it's blinding.
Is it?
Yes.
I've not really played it. I played the demo. That's it.
This year is brilliant.
Okay.
It's so good.
But you have completed PES 2018. Yes, that is true.
Definitely. Yeah, okay, yeah. Good. It was one of the, you know, like Formula One have test drivers.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
To sort of test out the cars and stuff. I'm like a test gamer. They get me in and I tell them where they should be going. And,
you joke about like it. I literally did do that. I went to Vancouver to do that for FIFA.
No, I'm sure. Yeah,
actually, so the reason you hate the game is actually my fault, really.
Well, sort it out. No, honestly, I don't care about FIFA. So, yeah, keep ruining it.
Last question for you, James, before we say goodbye to you.
Yes.
From Damo, he says, who's your favourite footballer of all time?
My favourite footballer of all time... I sort of have a thing for older footballers, so like this.
Sounds like I've got a thing for older footballers.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I've said it.
Look, get better, mate.
Lovely bit of Gary Pannister.
I'm going to go with it. George Best was amazing. Like, whenever I've seen footage of him, difficult to say as an Englishman, but Maradona.
Mm.
It's absolutely incredible. Like, you know, even. Platini as a footballer. As a footballer.
Yeah, not as a FIFA official.
Because, like, people like Maradona, like Platini, like, they will single handedly win a tournament.
Yeah.
So I have these sort of, like, nostalgic feelings for players that weren't even part of my era at all.
Yeah. But if you had to pick one, who would it be? Favourite footballer of all time?
My favourite footballer of all time.
For Damo?
I guess it'd have to be Beckham.
Yeah.
It's quite a sort of boring answer, but I just love him. I do have a thing for him.
You know,
you can quote me on that.
It's quite sad that he's considered an older footballer now. It actually shows that we've all got a bit older because he was a main man.
Well, Michael Owen, like, he was like...
For me, Michael Owen's a real shame.
When he came on the scene, I was like, oh, I can't wait. Like, it's sort of... It was hard for me. Once you get in your 20s, you know you're never going to be a footballer.
Yeah.
So when I was at school...
There's still time.
When I was at school, I was always like, I know I'm rubbish at football now, but it still might happen.
Yeah, you never know.
But now I should be in my prime.
The thing is, though, Michael Owen's a sad... Well, there's two things there. One is the sad thing was when you see players come into teams that are much younger than you, and you're like, oh, wow, yeah. Like, when you're like... Dele Alli, for example, he's literally like 8 years younger than me or 9 years younger than me, whatever it is. And he's so good.
I think he's a lot more younger than that.
And then the other thing is the Michael Owen you brought up. I think it's such a shame because I think the new generation see him as this sort of rubbish pundit, like, because they don't rate him as a pundit. But I remember him as just the best player. Like, when he came into the 98 World Cup and just tore
the whole country apart.
Yeah.
But, and it's the same with Beckham. Do you think now, like, the young teenagers of now, like, will they worship Beckham the way we do? They probably just see him more known for his kind of post-football things and how famous he is. But the reason we all love Beckham is how, like... For me, it all comes down to, like, their Greece game.
Yeah, that free kick against Greece. That's it. Well done. You're my favourite player.
Exactly. You're a hero. You are a captain.
Yeah.
You're a legend. And even coming back from the whole what he had to deal with in 98.
Off. Yeah,
and people were burning effigies of Beckham at matches. Yeah. The sad thing is, in a few years, he'll be known as Brooklyn's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of getting on my nerves a bit. I won't go into that, but that's the whole thing that's irritating me. Because I always used to think, oh, they're not sort of like coveting fame, that family. But how long is it going to be until it's Meet the Beckhams, weekly TV series, fly on the wall documentary, and then it's like...
I would watch that.
And then we'd all watch it. We'd all record
Beckham
it.
And he's like, oh, but Mum, you've bought me these trainers, and they're the wrong size. Yeah. It's like the Kardashians. Like, I don't understand why they're so popular.
Yeah.
People should hate them. They're really spoilt and obnoxious. And, like, we, normal people, we should all be like, ugh, dickheads.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but are you going to watch...
I am!
Watch a series?
I do think that.
But are you going to watch a series of people just sort of sitting around... She's going to work.
You watch an episode of the Kardashians. My wife is all over it. You sit there and nothing happens.
But they live this glamorous lifestyle, don't they?
No, they don't. They don't. They live what is conceived a glamorous lifestyle. But that in itself should be a reason why we hate them. We should be jealous of them. Because it's like, what have you done? Nothing.
Yeah.
Apart from literally someone on camera.
But you would watch Meet the Beckhams.
Meet the Beckhams, I'd watch that. I watched the first episode to see what it was about.
If it was like the Osbournes.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just like Kim Kardashian crying because her makeup didn't go that well.
What's
today?
The storyline for episode one?
Let's pitch this. Of Meet the Beckhams.
Yeah, Meet the Beckhams. Brooklyn's got to get a part-time job.
Victoria has a she's got a new line coming out and she needs to the catwalk models and everything.
Brooklyn's dad.
They need to be they need to be booked because the show is because New York Fashion Week is 2 weeks away. And there's loads of things that haven't
and
been
Beckham's
sorted
got
yet.
To do the school run. Oh, yes. I've got to get them all to school. Yeah. My life's so hard.
Yeah.
But I do think that would be more relatable than the Kardashians.
Of course it would.
You know, I do think David Beckham will take his kids to school. And
well, that's the whole thing Beckham goes for, isn't it? He wants to be seen. I don't know whether it's like a media ploy and you can be all cynical and look at it that way, or whether it is genuine. But he likes to be seen as the everyday average dad who loves his kids, wants to spend time with them.
Because that's the thing, like, it was great. Like, your dad pulling strings for you if he's in a position, which I think is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of, it was a slightly one-up version when he got his kid a Saturday job with Guy Ritchie. Just go and learn about the film industry if that's what you want to be. I'm mates with Guy Ritchie, he'll help you out.
Yeah.
You think, yeah, good on you. Like, go start from the ground up, I'm sure he was making cups of tea or whatever.
Yeah.
And you think, brilliant. But now, like, Brooklyn Beckham, it's just his social media and his posing.
It reminds me of, social media wasn't what it is now back then, but you remember Callum Best? He used to be on all the TV shows. He was going on, like, Celebrity Love Island and whatever, and obviously George Best's son.
I think the thing is, though, with that whole stuff is he's going to be in the eye anyway, so maybe it's good parenting, like, coaching him.
Doesn't have to be in the eye. No one's seen my kids. I know I'm on a different level from David Beckham, one's ever seen my kids. And if there's ever been, like, a sniff of them, maybe a Paps taking a picture of us walking down, we've had the lawyers and stuff like that. Get that out. Get that off the website. Yeah. No one's seen my kids. I want to protect them. I want to save them from this.
And then you can do the big reveal.
if my son's 18, he's like, I want to give him a choice. I want to protect him while he's still a minor.
It's definitely the right way to do it. I think if you're born into that world and you grow up with it, like, for instance, the young Kardashians, Kendall and Kylie, is it?
Yeah, they're just
treated like
commodities.
They're gone.
They're literally just treated like commodities by their family.
Well, she's had lip job and. She was like 16, I think, or whatever.
She got famous from a sex tape, and then her mum used that to sell the family.
Well, yes. The actual behind the scenes, though, their dad, who passed away, was O.J. Simpson's lawyer as well, Robert Kardashian.
He
was a little bit known for that. Yeah. He was on the team. Yeah, it was Johnny Cochran that was their main lawyer, but. They were a family of means already, like financially. But then, the sex tape thing was a big. She was a model, I think, and it was a big sex tape thing. But yeah, the Kardashians. One thing you have to say about them, I don't know how we've got on to talking about the Kardashians, is that they've used something not like pretty embarrassing sex tape, and they've turned it into a dynasty, and they're minted. Absolutely.
Yeah, but
minted.
I don't think that's something to be proud of.
It's not something I want to do.
Yeah,
but
I don't think you should. I wish people would know that the be all and end all is just not how much money you've got. There's so much.
Unfortunately, there's a
lot
of people that do feel that way, though.
Like dignity and self-respect, doing the right things, not being proud of releasing a sex tape.
This has been Thought for the Day on Radio 4. With
I just think, it's sort of they're basically. The epitome of what's wrong with culture. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Go and be good at football and you'll get paid a fortune. Go and be good at something.
I've tried that.
Do something. Find something that you're really, really good at that not many people can do.
Yeah.
And make money doing it.
100%. It's a new phenomenon in the last 10 years, 20, 30 years, that you can just be famous for the sake of being famous.
Yeah.
You don't actually have to have a skill.
Exactly.
At least footballers, you say, have got an amazing skill that they've worked thousands of hours at getting good at. You know, you've got directors and filmmakers in the film industry and actors who are very good at what they do. Then you've got this weird little middle area of people that are famous because either they've got a name, certain surname, or you've got like the Geordie Shore guys, the Tower guys. It's just like, who are you?
I've never wanted to be famous. I never ever sat down and went, oh, wouldn't it be good to be famous? I just wanted to be an actor.
Yeah. And if you're a good actor, inevitably it comes with the trade.
Not really.
Whether you want to or not.
No, sometimes I think the best ones, the ones that you probably never heard of, those ones that make a career out of doing
theatre
proper,
and
yeah,
and that kind
like
of thing,
not
yeah.
just sort of my half-assed sort of try at acting, even though I enjoy it. I would never say that I was a particularly good actor, but fame just comes into it, and it was an afterthought for me, because even the small level of fame, which I've tried to sort of move away from more and more, like you never see me in the paper unless I'm talking about a film that I've got coming up or I'm talking about my podcast Dream Team FC. I think fame's a little bit annoying. It's a little bit sort of like, not annoying. No, phone's really... No, phone... Yeah, no, phone's quite nice, actually, because people... Like, people are really nice to me and stuff, but I always... I find it uncomfortable.
It's quite superficial if someone... You don't know if they actually like you or if they like...
Oh, I don't care about
if
that.
If someone said fame's like a cigarette, it's never quite satisfies, always leaves you wanting a little bit more.
Fame is a mask that eats into the face.
That's a good one as well. Wow. Same guy, I think. It was,
Yeah. David
you
Beckham.
You follow him on Twitter.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, if there was quotes like that on Meet the Beckhams, we'd
fame is a pair
it.
Of boxers that eat... Well, never mind.
Slowly give you crap.
Fame is a grasshopper in the fields, gnawing on the... barley? I don't know. That's not a real one.
on that bombshell, on that deep but quite moving note, thank you for sharing with us, James. we have to let you go because I know you've actually got record the Dream Team FC podcast.
Yeah, you're
kind right?
of come on again, aren't you?
I'm more than happy to. Yeah. Well, I am officially a friend of the show because it's my second appearance.
I love having a friend of the show.
Fuck, it's like good, a tough
show's a
friend
good name
of the show's
show.
Here.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a tough follow up album. Second time, can I recreate the gold that we created the first time out?
No, it'd be great. I think that was our most popular show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
I think it was our second most popular show.
Ah.
The first most popular show was...
David Beckham.
No. Steve...
Benfica.
No, Steve Claridge came in and had a mental breakdown.
That's like, I need to have a mental breakdown then.
Steve Claridge used to sell vegetables out the back of his
That's
car.
Right, yeah, we spoke about that.
Even when he was a footballer, apparently.
We spoke about that. And Jalal, who I mentioned, who's my co-host, who's a keen gardener, brought him in a purple carrot.
Kind of.
To bring back the memories.
Apparently all carrots used to be purple, did you know that?
Yeah,
we haven't got time for this.
I think it was some sort of Dutch pride or something. They changed the carrots to orange.
Sounds like that.
Well, so they are officially
they're purple.
Orange.
They used to grow in the ground purple.
Well, I think they're sort of like.
Hang on, are you thinking about beetroot?
No.
I think
what they do is like how they do with like with pedigree dogs.
Yeah,
they bred
sort
it out.
Of they're bred orange.
Unbelievable.
Can you breed a different colour? You couldn't, could you?
I think so.
I think we should end on that bombshell because that is big. Carrots, it's a lie. Carrots are a lie, guys. When you eat them, remember they should be purple.
Yeah.
And they don't make you see in the dark as well. Do you know that? My mum told me that she was lying the whole time.
Oh, that was all a myth as well. Yeah.
World War II survival thing.
With a great big carrot.
Yeah.
Didn't see this coming. James, thank you very much for joining us. How can people listen to the Dream TFC podcast?
I suppose. I think it's Audio Boom and iTunes. That's the one, isn't it?
It is,
that's
yeah. You can basically,
to.
If you search Dream Team on
Dream
iTunes,
Team FC,
you'll
yeah.
find it. You'll find it.
Yeah. So, yeah, especially iTunes as well, because I'm trying to get up the charts.
What can they expect to hear on the
don't
podcast?
Don't say that. I don't know. Whatever.
It's a mystery. That's part of the intrigue.
It'll be me and my mate talking about football, but it's less informed than this show. More of a shambles. It's a worse version of this show.
If you've got time, listen to the second one.
No, but that's the thing as well, because you can just subscribe. Listen to this show, subscribe to my show. You don't even have to listen to it. Just subscribe to it,
okay.
And it will get up that chart. That's
well,
all I care about.
You heard it from the man himself.
It's like collecting Facebook friends subscribers.
That's it. Yeah, it's so... It's
like,
just,
I care a lot about it.
Yeah.
With anything.
I didn't to begin with, and I'm not on Facebook or things like I'm not on Facebook
I am
or MySpace.
1,000 friends.
You got 1,000.
Well,
1,000 yeah, exactly.
Recently, yeah.
How do you know? Do you
checked.
Know 1,000?
How many
people?
Of them have you met?
Had to probably five, six.
Well, James, I'm going to let you get into that.
Okay.
Me and Tom have got a little bit, few more things to do, but James, thank you very much for coming. Absolute
thank you.
Legend, James Buckley, everybody.
You get two claps this time.
Yeah, that's a proper clap
brilliant.
This time.
Thanks,
I'll see you soon, mate.
See you in a bit. Nah, it doesn't really work. See you later, James.
Thanks, pal. Well, that was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it was really nice. Yeah.
Lovely chap.
Yep, lovely.
Before we finish, we've got a few things to do to round the show up with you, Tom. I want you to do another reading, if you would,
sure.
from the Shinpad Chronicles. You did this about four or five podcasts
Ooh, heck,
ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's just to quickly remind people, it's a kind of story about your village football team career.
That's correct, yeah.
And you're going to read a different excerpt today?
Yeah, I'm going to read a different little bit. So basically what's happened in the story so far is I've been out of form and I was suspended for some violence. So I'll just pick up from
you're basically the Diego Costa of the Suffolk area.
In a way.
Yeah. Okay, fine. When you're ready.
My return to the first team came the following week. I started thanks to a fortunately timed clash between the game and Liam Watson's grandmother dying. A combination of events that once again proves the truth in the saying about how every cloud has a silver lining. I was nervous and keen to impress on my return. Back in those days, I'd taken to rubbing Vaseline onto the outside of my shirt across the chest because I thought that's what Patrick Vieira did, but it turned out that in fact he was using Vapor Rub the whole time to help with his breathing. Still, it looked good, which was the main point. When I realised my mistake, though, I quietly switched, doing so for the first time in the first game back after suspension. As I sat in the changing room listening to the gaffer's distracted team talk as he pre-rolled his 35 minutes worth of cigarettes, my eyes began to water uncontrollably, unexpectedly stinging from the intensity of the vapour fumes. I tried to pass it off as me being super pumped for the game, and luckily it worked, the gaffer using me as an example to the others of how much the game should mean to us. They'd sniggered, but the point is I'd convinced myself that indeed passionate dedication to the team was the genuine reason I was crying, and proceeded to give a self-righteous speech about how they should all be thoroughly ashamed of themselves. Suffice to say, no one passed me for the entirety of the first half. 10 minutes into the second half, though, and Mario was hacked down in the box for an indisputable penalty after yet another incredible run. As my teammates turned to the ref to protest, I had already figured out what was about to happen and grabbed the ball, striding to the penalty spot before the referee had even finished blowing his whistle. The fuss that followed over who officially is supposed to take the penalties and so on was, to my eyes, uncalled for and a real stain on what should have been an incredible moment for all of us as a team. A combination of stubbornness on my part and the remonstrations of the Nacton players for us to get on with the game led to the inevitable. My first penalty in league football and an opportunity to open my soon-to-be prolific account. A hushed silence. Perfect concentration on my part. If it were a football advert or a Gillette one or something, the camera would have focused on the forehead beads of sweat and then cut to my incredibly intense stare or something. Smash! Top corner. The ball nestled into the net as I swung round, pointing at my teammates, unable to resist blurting out, "Ha! Told you I'd score!" before then running over to the corner flag, one arm raised in the style of Alan Shearer. No one came to congratulate me, annoyingly, but this was because as a team we were so deeply in game mode, and were refusing to celebrate until the match was over and we'd won. I recognised and respect this approach immediately as I'd seen it on television, and so ran back with them, postponing the triple somersault I'd planned to perform. Game on, I remember thinking. That's the end of my little segment.
So you scored?
I scored, yeah. There's more. But,
did you go on to win the game, or is that going to be
I tell you what, I will leave that for next week.
Oh, I need to know now!
Well, let's put it this way, I don't tend to write about my defeats in life, so... There's a hint there for you.
That's the end of this week's podcast. Thanks to Tom Gray. Thanks to James Buckley, who since left us, but great to have him on the show. Don't forget to check out dreamteamfc.com. My weekly blog is on there. We did a Twitter Q&A last week. Make sure you check that out as well if you haven't seen it. Also, another thing we did last week, which is really good, was I commentated my alternative commentary on the West Ham highlights of the season so far. So that was really cool. Actually, you've got the goals going in behind me commentating over it. So make sure you check that out also on the Dream Team website. Thank you very much to Tom.
Thanks very much.
You can check out Tom's Twitter at Thomas James Grace. His Twitter, mine's at Spencer Owen. And I believe James Buckley's, it's at James_Buckley. So check that out as well. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to review the show as well on iTunes if you've enjoyed it, or on Audioboom or SoundCloud, wherever you're listening to it. If you've enjoyed it, leave us a comment, tell us why, and give it a rating as well if you don't mind. I'll see you next week. Until then, though, don't go changing.
Woohoo!